outdoors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
And we're back. A little something for the ASMR fans out there.
Gross.
Oh my God. A little gagging for them?
They get millions of listens.
They do.
I want this to be an ASMR podcast.
I did see Janet doing them.
Oh,
Janet
that
Jackson.
Was amazing.
Yeah.
And, well, also, Janet's voice is very specifically designed for that. And also, every year she sounds more like Michael. Every year.
It's the whisper. It's because she's always sort of just whispering.
Yeah.
Guys, it's Janet Jackson. I want to say welcome back to Keep It.
Who is that?
Janet Jackson.
That sounded like a man I needed to get away from.
Y'all, we are in the new studio.
We're here.
Yeah.
It's very spacious.
They finally let us back to Griffin.
They did let us come back.
Do you know where we have been recording?
And the table is the same, though, so it's very Charlie Rose adjacent. But in a good way.
I know. This makes me feel back
without
like
the assault.
Yes, right.
This feels like we're discussing important things.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to put up a finger and say topics.
Yeah, before, you know, we were just like hiding out in Zsa Gabor's abandoned mansion.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're here. And I'm very excited for this episode.
I want to apologize if I seem traumatized. I'm still thinking about the ending of Sharp Objects, which I will not spoil. In the last 10 seconds of that show threw a knife at my forehead. Just out of nowhere, it zapped me.
I love those 3D TVs.
That's right. I'm injured. I'm bleeding, I screamed.
Coming up later, Kara has her top 10 favorite white women list.
I do.
This is going to be historic.
Guys, you guys asked for it. Yeah, it came up, and then you sort of asked for it. And either way, we're doing it, so...
You're going to get it.
You're going
to
get it.
Can't wait to see where Scarlett Johansson ranks.
This is going to be my favorite VH1 special. When we come back with the 100 greatest white women.
And later we will be joined by Andrew T. of the podcast, Yo, Is This Racist? We'll be talking about racist things too, so.
Apropos.
In a recent interview in Tennis Magazine, French Tennis Federation President Bernard Giudicelli, is he even French?
Are you? With all your goddamn voice work these days? Okay, moving on.
Bonsoir, Louis. That means good night. He reportedly said that the tournament would be introducing a dress code ahead of the 2019 French Open because they're haters. And they did not like Serena Williams's Black Panther-inspired cat suit that was medically designed to help prevent blood clots, you know, since she had a near-death experience after giving birth. Giudicelli said, it will no longer be accepted. One must respect the game and the place.
I mean, she has since given an interview where she was like, lay off, who fucking cares? But he must have known her pretty well, because this story to me almost felt like something planted to, like, as a fake story to make liberals act up or something. It's so obviously stupid. You know, like, she's the disrespectful one, not the, like, thousands of years of, like, dress codes making sure that these women wear, like, cotillion gowns on the court or whatever they're supposed to wear.
I mean, also disrespecting the sport.
I mean, an active sport.
It's an active sport. It can't be disrespected.
I mean, Maria Sharapova plays. Like, what's more disrespectful than that?
Right.
I think also, when I think about Serena Williams and I think about just the piles and piles and piles of bullshit that she has had to deal with throughout her entire career, it makes me so mad. But then I remember that she's just better than everyone. And no matter what, she still beats you all and is still just a better person in general and will continue to go down as one of the greatest athletes of all time and just helped define the sport of tennis. So I like, you wish, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, like black women can really like be strong and get through shit. And it's like, well, you shouldn't have to. That's obviously the ideal. But I also know that like she's still going to beat you, cat suit or not.
Right. I mean, they were always talking about Jackie Robinson on the blogs. So Serena knows what she's getting into, being sort of like the person who made women's tennis sort of not matter. But, you know,
I think the other
elevated
thing that
it.
The thing
elevated
that,
it. It's she specifically, you know, brands herself at make sure people mention that she is an athlete. It's not about women's tennis. It's about being the best tennis player, being the best athlete.
I think it's also obviously particularly egregious because she almost died giving birth due to blood clots. And it's like she's trying to just like be healthy. Like if she had come out in whatever those things basketball players have on their arms, I'm like, it's the same. It's like it's to help her play her sport at the highest level possible. And so she doesn't fucking die.
Also, again, she's so good at the sport, so number one, that I feel like whatever she decides to wear is the best option for the game. Like, let's follow her lead. If she dresses like an American gladiator, we have to accept that.
Maybe
she's
they should all be
right.
In cat suits.
Yeah, exactly. No, people named Yana should be like, ah, I now need to wear black spandex.
It's like when everyone, all those swimmers started wearing those bodysuit things.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
and all the cupping they did obsessively during the Olympics, right?
Well, you know now who we was not having it?
Huh?
Billie Jean King.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, she's not having it. She's on the right side of
yeah,
this.
Yeah, she sent a tweet.
What did Billie say?
She said, the policing of women's bodies must end. The quote-unquote respect that's needed is for the exceptional talent Serena Williams brings to the game. Criticizing what she wears to work is where the true disrespect lies.
The great thing about Serena Williams, though, is also that much like, say, the NFL protests, it really tells you real quick. It tells you a lot about someone.
The anthem protests, Kara?
Yeah. Oh, the anthem protests. I swear to fucking God, if you don't, people stop calling them the goddamn anthem protests.
They're upset with the song.
But it,
the song is trash, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I found that people's responses to Serena Williams, it tells you a lot about them and what they think of women and often black people and people who happen to be both of those things. And so you're all showing yourselves. You're showing your true selves, guys.
She crip walked once. I can't believe it. She didn't do it in the club. Listen, if you think Serena has to walk around, you know, with a shiny fucking dress on and a crown when she's taking these tennis players to freedom, you got another thing coming. When we're back, social media reacts to John McCain's death. Keep It is brought to you by Barefoot Dreams. Lewis?
Yes?
When you see footprints in the sand, that was when I carried you in my Barefoot Dreams robe.
Now, is that a Leona Lewis song? No?
If you want to bring coziness into your life, you turn to Barefoot Dreams, especially now as the brand is celebrating their 30th anniversary. With those 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams celebrates being the originators of everyone's favorite luxe home blanket. And while many have attempted to duplicate their blankets, robes, and more, Barefoot Dreams' fabrication and quality cannot be replicated, so don't believe the dupes. Girl, this blanket is it.
I effing love this blanket. I'm thinking about it right now, and I want to jump in my bed, which is sponsored by something that we'll do another ad for momentarily. Get ready. There's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times. Jesus, get a life, Oprah. My God. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as their collection of ultra-soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are made with premium materials. Their products make the perfect gifts, too. I throw this thing on. I wear it like a shawl. I look exactly like Ellen Burstyn. And I am the coziest a human being can be. Because, by the way, it's still that time in Los Angeles where it's, like, pretty mild outside, and then your apartment is cold. I can't explain it. I don't know things like basic science. For Keep It listeners, you can get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code KEEPIT15. Don't miss out on Barefoot Dreams' soft, soothing fabrics that will bring luxury to your life.
Pod Save America is brought to you by Helix. If you're looking for better sleep, you need to upgrade your mattress with Helix. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released and high-end Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids, which Charlie has. Charlie has a Helix mattress now, just for kids, in his race car bed. Very excited, very happy about it. Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes, and it ships straight to your door free of charge. They even offer a 100-night trial and a 10- to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. If you're a side sleeper, you can choose a model with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief. There are also models with more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, check out enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating while you sleep. It's no wonder Helix has over 12,000 five-star reviews. And you've loved your Helix mattress.
I got a Dawn Lux.
There you go.
It's great.
Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/crooked. That's helixsleep.com/crooked. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Senator John McCain died on Saturday, August 25th, from brain cancer at the age of 81. In the wake of McCain's death, citizens, celebrities, and politicians alike took to social media to respond to his passing and critique others on how not to reflect on his nearly six-decade-long political career.
Literally, people popping out of dumbwaiters to be like, don't say that, say that. It's like Patricia Clarkson in Sharp Objects, like, honey, you're embarrassing me.
Are you getting paid by HBO, Lewis?
I'm not with that doll set that you got from Marty Noxon. Yes, I'm pressed.
Back to the topic. John Lovett wrote a lovely piece for crooked.com, visit it, about mourning a patriot whose politics you hate, which, you know, we could talk about the fact that John McCain was a war hero, that he, you know, stayed in captivity so that others could be released when he was a prisoner of war. But we also cannot divorce ourselves from the fact that he had a lot of policies that were racist.
And just terrible.
And I think it's easier for liberals and politicians and commentators who are white to divorce those things so quickly than it is for people of color to.
Just generally, I really hate, like, death Twitter. I really hate, I find a lot of it, and I know that people are mourning and people are sad and all of that, and not really even just, like, in the case of John McCain, but, you know, like, the second a celebrity dies and everyone's posting photos of them, and it's always in the context of, like, what this person meant to me. And I get it, but I've always found it. I don't really like it. I just, like, don't really like to participate in it very much. And the John McCain stuff felt like that. I don't know. People also, again, if we talk about nuance one more time, they can't have that conversation. They can't say, yeah, he was overall a good person, let's say, but also he wanted to repeal Obamacare. And he did not vote for Martin Luther King Day to be a fucking holiday. Yeah.
Didn't
and
care
only,
much for Roe v. Wade,
and
by the
only
way.
Apologized for it when he was running against a black man.
With fucking Hanna-Barbera character, Sarah Palin.
Right.
So we can't also ignore the fact that Sarah Palin ushered in, you know, the sort of anti-intellectualism.
Just an era of
into
absurdity.
Politics.
This is what you get when you Bing search your presidential running mate. Who is Lady Who Be President? He typed.
If you can't see the connection between Sarah Palin being like, I read books, all of them, you know, to Trump and his inability to write, then you're an idiot.
Yeah, I think you're right, because I noticed that the only thing I did tweet was there was that clip of him that we see a lot that people were using as an example of his sort of magnanimity, where the woman said, I don't like that Barack Obama, he's an Arab. And he was like, no, ma'am, he's a good family man. And I don't know why people can't just say that was a bad thing to say.
Yes.
I don't know why people were like, yeah, but, you know, but he was a good, like, yes, sure. But don't use that when you're trying to talk about him being a good person, because that was a bad moment and a bad clip. And I know that people were trying to sort of talk their way around it and say, well, he meant this, or, you know, he wasn't saying that Arabs are the opposite of good men. But that is what he said. And so let's just say that's not great and keep it moving, as opposed to just trying to sanitize everything.
And also, by the way, picking that as some career high moment, it's like, what? Like, that's
he
how
did
low
way
is,
better shit. Yeah,
how
exactly.
low is the bar? How yeah. low is the bar? Like, excuse me, a woman is screaming racist shit at him, and he had the valor to respond. No. What? Yeah. That's it?
He did better things than that, guys.
A yeah. clip of him dancing to, like, Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics at a wedding would be better than that.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, did you know that he was an extreme ABBA fan?
Was he?
He brought, like, reporters back to his, like, Arizona retreat for something, and all he played was ABBA. He said, I can't help it. I just love ABBA. And that's the only thing on which we agree. So I'm just going to cherish that moment for a split second.
Maybe he recorded a secret cameo on Cher's forthcoming ABBA covers.
Oh, my God. Coming back at us from the... Like, he'll be hologramming soon at Coachella. No, but what's weird also is, like, the amount of people who toasted him in death still to me mostly sounded like they were saying he was better than his contemporaries, which is not to me a glowing review. Like, even Elizabeth Warren, who tweeted a whole bunch about him, said, even when we disagreed, I always respected that his heart was focused on doing what was best for the American people. Is that it? Like, you were thinking about other people?
When he wasn't thinking about gay people.
No, he sure wasn't.
Don't ask, don't tell.
No, and also, he's so weird about gay stuff. He was, like, into ENDA, about anti-discrimination employment, but then he was all about the First Amendment Defense Act or whatever, which is about religious liberty, and I don't know if you know this, Kara, but sometimes religious liberty is used to make gay people die.
Oh, hadn't heard.
Yeah,
hadn't
so... heard.
Yeah, I think it is something that I think you're right. Like, we see it split along. I remember the same thing with Scalia, where I was like, listen, I hate him.
Right.
And I think the world was moved on just fine without him. And he was racist. He did not like gay people. He spent his life making life worse for those people. And I don't think you can say to those individuals, like, no, but you need to take a moment and be respectful. I find that really odd. And I know that, and it's another one of those things where they're like, now is not the time. He just died. And it's like, well, it is, because now we're talking about him. And so I recognize that there are people who have different opinions on different people, and that's fine. But that's what happens when someone dies. That's what we're talking about. And you don't get to say, you have to wait until we've stopped having the conversation to say bad things about them, or not even say bad things, to point out the bad things about them.
Particularly if they are politicians and not even just, like, you know, benign entertainers. It's not like Donna Summer died. It's like, no, this is somebody who, like, dictated, you know, how life was for other people. You know, like, and again, it's like, how many times on Twitter are people like, when are we going to have a conversation about gun control? How about we have it now, when the guy who took the most money from the NRA is, like, on the minds of everybody? You know?
Right. And people can't wait to write their 95 theses when, you know, a undocumented immigrant kills someone. So they can say, all immigrants do this. But, you know, we have to wait before we can, quote unquote, politicize a politician after they die. Their life was politics.
Wasn't it so cute, though, how he started to move on about gay rights when his wife told him to and his daughter told him to? Because it's up to women to have consciences for men like
this. Also, Stephen Curry, who all of a sudden decided, like, feminism seems good. I have two daughters.
Right.
Oh, good. Just half of the world being women wasn't the tipping point for you.
You know, Meghan McCain loves her brunch with her gays.
Sure.
So, you know, she had to tell daddy to be nice to them.
She also loves quoting Margaret Thatcher. How endearing.
Shout out to Margaret Thatcher. Nicki Minaj.
One thing I will say is, like, for, you know, not liking anything John McCain did, it was sort of nice to see that people could, on, you know, different sides of the aisle, could actually just genuinely like someone, to say that, like, wow, this was an actual, like, decent person that I wouldn't mind being in an elevator with, or whatever it was. Like,
although his presidency was with different sides of the aisle, sort of went out the window. We're on different fucking planes.
Like, no, exactly.
Even that video, the Arab thing, it's just, like, weird watching a video with a room, you know, just, like, full of these white people who are like, Obama is this evil Arab who is coming to steal our country. And those people are now in the limelight.
But it also, it made me nostalgic in a way where I was like, oh yeah, that was a lot better, because at least he's not Donald Trump. I mean, like, yeah, Sarah Palin was there for sure. But it did bring me back to somewhat of a simpler time where, like, Barack Obama could say that he honestly had respect for John McCain. And I feel like John McCain could also honestly say he had respect for Barack Obama. And it's like, I don't know that we've had that since
yeah,
then,
right.
Guys.
That transaction is basically impossible.
Right.
Now.
And Obama's giving a eulogy at his funeral.
Yeah.
And you know who was not invited?
Donald
Trump.
Did you see all the videos of him where they're like, sir, John McCain, are you going to say anything about John McCain? Are you going to say anything about John McCain? And he's just like, like he's looking at a fly in the room, just like looking anywhere but the cameras. Like, we can see you. We can hear what the guy just said. You not saying anything isn't a response.
John McCain's death is a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and if Donald Trump does not move, it can't see him.
Basic science.
I would like to thank John McCain for at least, you know, being the reason why I get to watch Bristol Palin on Teen Mom.
That is true.
Yeah.
She also was a third place contestant on Dancing with the Stars. You know who she lost to? Jennifer fucking Grey, bitch, who is at least got to be in the low teens on your white women list. She's a great white lady. You don't love Jennifer Grey?
No, I just wanted to stare at you.
Oh, my God.
Make you nervous.
Her and Ferris Bueller, one of my favorite performances. We can talk about this later.
When we're back, we're going to talk about the Black Scent controversy in Crazy Rich Asians with Andrew T.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of blackness from NPR and how I live my life every day.
Oh, I'm glad to bear witness to it.
Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of a struggle.
It sounds like you at Coachella. I'm already tuned in. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective, from Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations. There's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as very nuanced and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us. Without us.
Doesn't the Black experience sound like a 3-disc Prince album we never got? Someone check the vault, please. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
The first blockbuster from an American studio with an all-Asian-led cast in 25 years, Crazy Rich Asians, has proven to be a box office hit. The film has also raised critical questions about cultural appropriation and authenticity, specifically as it relates to rapper, actress Nora Aquafina Loom's Paik Lin character. Film critics and social media have started weighing in on her perceived Black scent and what that means for non-Black people of color representation in Hollywood. And when I say they've been weighing in, they have been going in literally every fucking direction. And I don't think anyone has agreed on what they think anymore. So to help us dive into that, we have Andrew T here.
Oh, snap.
Andrew,
what
up? I feel like you should start doing podcast bingo for all of them. Andrew has been on every podcast in Los Angeles.
I learned the main thing I learned about the release of Crazy Rich Asians is that too many... mostly white comics, but not exclusively white comics in LA, have only me as their Asian friend.
Have they all invited you to see the movie?
It was not so much that, but it was a lot of people like, oh, did you see this yet? Yeah, I want to talk about it with someone. And also a lot of people, anyone who had a podcast was like, will you come do a Crazy Rich Asians episode? And I was like, is that, am I all you got?
You're suddenly getting way more Christmas cards.
Oh, yes. We had someone before you.
No,
be
I know. Y'all did it correct. Because I feel like I'm here to have a more, a much lower profile, but a more nuanced conversation.
Well, yes, as the host of Yo, Is This Racist, a podcast that I have been on twice.
Lord. Yeah. Me too, Ira.
You can wipe those episodes, by the way. No one needs to hear Ira again.
Let me just say this. I've recently been trying to book more white people on the show. So, Lewis,
get ready.
My dynasty begins, sweetie. Watch out, Ira.
All right, Crystal Carrington.
That's like the best compliment you've ever given me. Moving on.
She got brain cancer. She was written out the
from
show.
From being glamorous.
That's true.
Anyway, Andrew.
Yeah.
What were your initial thoughts after seeing this movie?
So, I think the cultural appropriation thing is... And let me just say this, because I feel like I have a reputation. I want to get in front of this, because I know I'm... I feel like I have a reputation among Asian media people for being maybe a little harder on Asian people than everyone else. And I do want to emphasize it's from a place of love and frustration that this comes from.
They need to pull up their pants. Give your pound cakes.
Oh, man.
This was a topic on a recent Insecure episode where they were saying Molly was being too hard on the new black law firm she was at. So a problem that permeates us all.
And I think it's very reasonably a question of where do you have this conversation? Not that you shouldn't have the wild things I'm about to say, but no, it's not that crazy. But it is true. Is this a thing that just becomes ammunition for racists to use against, when does one become a Bill Cosby, like a scold, as opposed to someone actually productive? But I do think it's worth digging into, this idea that Awkwafina and many East Asian people from urban places, I'm just going to air them out right now. I have cousins from San Francisco that I think they stopped, but I'm not positive. But when they were younger, they would call each other the N-word, because they were urban youths of color. And that was, to their minds, what that was for. but that's prevalent in Bay Area, Asian people.
It's prevalent on the 6 train too.
I was tight 5 today.
Ooh, we're doing this. That's a thing where people have, and I was just saying before we started, honestly, the takes have been all over the place on whether or not it's, cultural appropriation for Asian people to talk hip hop. is that the granniest ass way to say that?
Yeah. And that's part of the issue with the conversation, was that they immediately conflate a certain way of speaking with the way black people talk.
Yeah.
And that is, I don't not see the point everyone is trying to make, but I think it's also, you have to be careful with saying, this is how black people speak.
Right.
So when
you
someone
may
speaks
as well
like
say,
that,
this is how the blacks speak.
Yeah, exactly. Right,
at that point.
Because I left the movie being I didn't hear a black scent because black people don't talk like that.
Right, right. No one talks like that. Awkwafina is one, a singular person, talent. I mean, I here's what I will say, and I think that like most conversations on the internet, it's fucking wildly misses the point, which is, a lot of people, the conversation goes, Awkwafina's using a black accent, and then the rejoinder is, well, she's actually from Queens, she can do this. And I think a lot of the X or Y person can do this, quote unquote, is wildly misguided. Because it's not no one's saying Awkwafina is doing a thing that isn't her. People are all kinds of people. There are people that I used to work on a show where a clip that was passing around the writer's room a lot was a white guy who was born in Jamaica doing a Jamaican accent, and you're like, and even that show was like, is he allowed to do this? He was born in Kingston. I mean, obviously he was a landowner and practically had slaves, but whatever. Like, you know, is he allowed to do this? And
I love Jack Black.
But it's like a thing where you're like, it's not about whether the person can do it. It's the fact that they are disproportionately rewarded because on some level, we as an entire culture in aggregate think it's funny that an Asian person has that accent mm-hmm. or has that voice, that mm-hmm. accent, that like manner of speaking.
I think something that's interesting that I haven't seen in the think pieces I've read about it is in comedies, a lot of the time, the Awkwafina role in Crazy Rich Asians would be a black person.
Yeah.
Like it would be Chris Tucker or it would be Tiffany Haddish or somebody who, you know, there's a straight-laced main character and then you have the sassier, wiser, you know, person who like drags them out of their shell and usually, you know, it gets to be funny and like broad, and it almost feels to me like it's written to sound like a Chris Tucker role. And so I'm wondering if she is simply reading the dialogue, but then also she did this in Ocean's 8 too.
Yeah.
Which feels, honestly, it felt less weird for me in Ocean's 8 mm-hmm. just because, you know, Rihanna's there speaking like an actual black person. So
all
I'm
right.
just like, oh, this is just a bunch of different people
yeah.
there, you
well,
know?
The thing that I found most jarring was literally just that we're supposed to believe that this woman who was born in in Singapore went to college in the United States for 4 years and picked up that accent. That was the thing where I was like, well, that's silly. And Andrew and I saw the movie together, and we had this conversation coming out because one of the things that was very noticeable and that people have been talking about is the treatment of anyone with any melanin
Ooh.
In this film. In particular, there's a scene when they pull up to this palace and the guards are Indian and they're in like this very specific sort of garb and they're
yeah.
treated as very sort of like foreign, and it's like they're scared. The girls are screaming.
Literally yeah. looking for Johnny Quest.
Yeah, yeah. And so and so a lot of the responses to that were like, that is, the racial politics of this country are fucked up. And so the movie
yeah.
is accurately representing them. But Andrew, you made the point where you can't decide to be accurate in one part and then throw it out the window another part. It's
yeah.
a little hard to argue that.
To kind of flesh that out, the colorism of the movie, which is evident, and I don't want to harp on it as much as I'm about to, but like, their colorism of rich East Asia is evident in that movie.
Yes.
And so that's another thing where like the kind of like equivocators will fall back on, you know, the truth. Like, yeah, Singapore is a problematic place that is, you know, we do like, you know, shit on brown Asians, you know, in Singapore, but that's just Singapore. And it is like, on one hand, the producers, oh man, okay, I'm just going to say it because I love the movie. It's very important for what it is, but it's not the be-all, end-all. But the producers are able to say, on one hand, this is just Singapore, but on the other hand, take liberties with things like Awkwafina's accent, with her Korean dad, you know what I mean? Which is fine, like, Ken Jeong is fine, like, Henry Golding's hoppiness is fine, it all works, he is Asian, but...
And hot.
And hot as fuck, but I'm going to recycle two spicy takes. One is, how much sexual chemistry did you have with Michelle Yeoh in that scene?
Oh, Andrew and I thought, that was like one of the first things we said when you get out. I was like,
yeah.
oh, they're about to fuck.
I was like,
what kind of movie is this?
And with Chris Pang on that raft. I was like,
yes!
That was wild to me. I was like,
I know.
This movie going to go in a different direction than I thought.
I know, like, I know that John M. Chu was trying to give you seeds of like, oh, Asian men can be, you know,
yeah.
desired, they can be hot, they can be sexual, but like, when Henry Golding and Chris Pang,
yeah.
are sitting like on that dock, just like shirtless Oof. In these short shorts, having this conversation with each other, I thought I was watching a Sean Connery movie.
And then we cut to Cancun, where two gorgeous men are. Yeah. It was.
I want to see that movie.
I know.
Crazy gay Asians.
Isn't that?
I want to see those two play Mahjong, because that
yeah.
was some sexual heat too. And it's
yeah. yeah. Just a lot of great chemistry. I don't know. I mean, you can't be like a generational landowner in Singapore without rivers of blood on your hands. So maybe we don't love these people. You know, it just can't be everything to everyone.
But that's a larger thing, though, about this movie being it. I mean, and it is such a fun movie, and it is a rom-com. And the notion that a romantic comedy designed to be as appealing to the most amount of people possible is going to be the most accurate depiction of Asian identity we've ever seen on screen is silly. And so while like the conversation should be happening, I think it's also it's unfortunate that like they all have to happen about this film, because we should be able to have there should be five films and we're talking about maybe there's an Awkwafina type accent in that one. And the way that it's presented in that film allows us to critique it in a different, more specific way.
I wish it were a series, to be honest, because that stuff you bring up, you know, about landowners, you know, in Singapore, it's like, I would want the soapy drama, you know, with Henry and Constance, but then also like having to deal with the racist history of like how this family got this.
Yep.
But you know, to Kara's point, how do you feel, you know, that people are sort of getting away from having to make Crazy Rich Asians be everything now that we have movies like Searching and To All the Boys I Loved Before, which just recently came out, and like people are like, oh, Asians make other movies.
I will just say this, peeling back the curtain a little bit, Kara for fully one calendar year has been like, get your fucking Asian family comedy script ready to go for the day after Crazy Rich Asians comes out. And guess what? It's not done
yet. It was at, I remember the party. We were at a Christmas party last December.
And like, you were like, just do it. You're an idiot for not doing this. And I'm like, I'll get there. And I just never, I just, it's almost, the outline's almost finished.
Like Oprah to Lindsay Lohan, I just want you to win.
I know. And also, you need to cut the bullshit.
I will say this also, my manager straight up, like, that Monday was like, so what happened to that other script? I was like, okay.
This is the thing. Hollywood is so reactive. Anytime anything that doesn't star fucking Matt Damon does well, they're like, oh, wait, black people go to movies? Wait, people will watch Asian people on screen? A woman? Like, that's literally how they think. And if you are a writer, if you are a content creator, somebody who wants to do this, I'm telling you, the next time they have something with your type of person that's going to come out that makes money, have your script ready, because these people are so reactive and they will just buy whatever.
Just sell it. Boy Erased is coming out. And when it gets those Oscars, if you are a gay who went to conversion therapy, get your script.
This is the life advice for everyone. But no, I think the thing is, like, thankfully, like, you know, Searching and To All the Boys I Loved Before and, you know, many other movies have always, you know, that's the thing. There's always been Asian folks, but people of all colors, you know, it's that the flip side to the reactive side part of Hollywood is just like, oh, it's like a fucking guppy, right? You're just like, the cool thing. And then the fact that we all have to hustle so much when, you know, it is also true that we're always out there making stuff.
Right.
Like, and so I think, though, that a little bit of shine for these projects is great, you know, and thankfully, you know, also, like, I do feel like Asian folks have been coming into a, you know, more diverse, more entertaining voice a little bit in the last couple. And this is, I mean, I'm sure I can tell all the people that are mad at me for being too hard on Asians are screaming into their phones right now. Like, we've always been that. And it is true. It is true. But like, I do think the level's just a little bit higher these days.
But it also, I think like people have to be, I mean, there's so much like television being made, for example, that like making a television show is super hard, like right now in 2018, because there are so many of them and so many people that want to do them. So I think in general, like, people have had to be a little better with their
content. Well, you know what? And also, like, the rise of like YouTube, like Asian YouTube is a thing that is like, look, wildly out of my demographic for so many reasons. But
did Awkwafina come from that? Is that
She had a web series. I think that was her in that bodega.
Yeah, but even before that, I think she came out with her like music videos.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So there's that. And that was like a place where it's like so clear that Asian Americans specifically are so starving for representation that, like, you know, and not to like shade on any of the fucking like Asian YouTube people, but it is like they gobbled up the low hanging fruit because, of course, just do that.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on the show. The podcast is Yo, Is This Racist? And
thanks.
You should listen to it if you have questions about things that may be racist.
If you want to hear two people wildly discuss, two people and a guest who sometimes is very scared, discuss race issues. Also, if I may, if you're in Chicago on November 29th, we're going to be at PodFest. And are we stressed about selling tickets? You bet we are. Buy a ticket, please.
Andrew's very funny.
I'll make it a good show no matter what, even if I call the entire city of Chicago racist. That's a promise.
It is.
I'm from there. I can guarantee it. Yes. It's Poland, too.
Can't wait.
When we're back, we'll see how far Jennifer Lawrence gets on Kara's top 10 white women list. Spoiler alert, she won't be on it.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
And we're back. The moment you've been waiting for. Kara, I know you got that list.
I got it. Before I start, I want to say something. After this list, I don't want anybody tweeting at me, emailing me, in my DMs saying you forgot so-and-so or what about whoever. This is a living, breathing list. Just because your fave is not on it right now does not mean she will never be on it. I do not want suggestions. I do not want any additions to this.
But by the way, your fave also may never get on the list, which may also never. May make us happy.
Exactly. So. She may never be there. But it is a living, breathing list. I'm sure there are some ladies I have forgotten, but this was who came into my heart most immediately.
Sorry, Lewis. Geraldine Page probably won't be on there.
Okay.
I'm going to go backwards from 10, but know that it's not a hard ranking.
Got it.
I didn't put them in that exact order. This is just a working list. So I have Mary Berry.
Interesting choice.
Oh, yeah, we love that great British Bake Off.
I fuck with her and her exquisite pastries. I just like her. I like the idea of her being around.
May I do my impression of her?
Please.
You have achieved a light mousse. Thank you.
I also have,
That's
know she's...
your British accent?
Nope. I don't need the accent. I just
summon
the spirit. Yes. I don't need to indicate as you
well,
do.
Well, you're not going to be invited to tea time at Big Bet.
Oh, my God.
Oh, good Lord.
Meisner-trained bullshit over here. Oh, my God.
This is not a famous woman, but my sixth-grade English teacher, Miss Davis.
Oh, she got number 9.
Yeah, she's on there.
Oh, what'd she do?
She just was great, I loved her.
Did she teach you how to write?
She was very helpful in teaching me how to write, yeah. And she... In her class, I read To Kill a Mockingbird, which went on to become one of my favorite books. And she just was like, fucking cool.
All right. Can't
Shout
deny that.
We have Christine Baranski.
Oh, totally. We have lots of women with hard bangs right now.
Yes.
And like helmet hair, which is great. Yeah.
Every time I see her on screen, I'm just reminded in The Good Wife. There's a lot of Good Wife love on this list.
Yes. There's The Good Wife. Y'all need to watch The Good Fight. people.
Mm-hmm. Ira loves The Good Fight.
It is like,
but don't you
her
know
in that black firm and that her in that all yes! black firm? I was like, if I didn't already love you, Christine Bransky.
Heard Audra McDonald just sashayed around the office.
One time I saw her in a turtleneck, and we have never had better severity. That is severity number one.
Audrey Hepburn was shook.
No, precisely. Oh yeah, funny face. Funny, get the fuck away. Bye.
This might be a bit of a curveball. Kristen Bell, who I just...
Veronica Mars? I love that bitch.
I just find her so delightful. I think she's beautiful. I just love I love a Kristen Bell late night interview.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. No, she is a great late night interviewee. Mm-hmm. My one problem with Veronica Mars is I'm not sure I find her hilarious, but she's perfect for that role. She's perfect for that role.
Also, the video of her crying over that sloth.
Which was the realest TV moment ever.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Then we have, this is a fictional character, but I love her like she is in, Alicia Florrick.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
From the Good Wife.
Lots of women who have their names embossed on things.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is my mood always.
Alicia Florrick is great. As opposed to...
Carol Hathaway on ER?
No, Juliana Margulies.
Oh, Juliana Margulies. Oh, her fighting with...
Archie Panjabi.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
One of the most underrated feuds ever.
It is, because they...
They had a reunion scene where they did not reunite.
But I love... I also feel like Alicia Florrick should have been mentioned in rap songs more. Like, she just... To me, I'm like...
Right, because black people watch The Good Fight.
Exactly.
The Good Wife.
Exactly.
Also, my favorite thing about Alicia Florrick, I guess also in Juliana Margulies, is, like, she always looks like she has kind of a headache. It's like, she looks like if Fran Drescher had a headache. That's what she looks like.
Then we have Victoria Beckham.
Oh, sure.
Who just from day one, her no smiling ass, she inspired me to continue to not smile.
Yeah, she's actively like, I'm just not going to do
it. She's like, I'm not going to do it. I don't care what any of you think. I am happy behind this scowl. I am loving my life. That she made the transition from those tacky ass jeans.
Oh, yeah.
To being like a legitimate fashion designer.
Have you ever seen these 73 questions with her? Do you know what this is?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Her 73 questions is probably the best.
It's probably
the best.
I would say Nicole is the best, but let me say this. There's a part where they're like, if you could wipe out one problem, what would it be? And she turns to the camera and just goes,
AIDS.
And she, let me, the way she says the word AIDS is like it's spelled AIDTZE, which is how it should be pronounced from here on out.
I love her.
Who would you have dinner with? David Beckham.
73 questions. Deeply underrated.
Then I have the DOGG Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, she's the best. I always say she's like if Cher's Twitter went to Harvard.
Ooh, that's a good description. Elizabeth, if you're listening, we'd love you to come on, talk about ballers, perhaps.
Oh, yes. Okay. Only ballers. Only we won't ballers. Ask you about anything
It'll
else.
It'll be an all ballers episode.
I'll
just
actually
for you.
Watch ballers just to talk about it with Elizabeth Warren.
Then we have, you guessed it, Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, yeah.
My thick queen.
Behind these hazel eyes, she is just a queen.
I voted.
My December is my awakening.
Oh, yeah. God, okay. I love your improv training.
I literally voted for her in American Idol. Like, I had my landline, and I dialed the numbers, and I voted for Kelly Clarkson, so I feel like I've just been with her from day one.
As did I. Sorry to Myra Gray.
She has never disappointed. She's never said anything crazy. She just sings her songs.
All this anti-Nikki McKibben joy here. I'm just very shocked.
Then I have Robin Wright, who, honestly, in Wonder Woman, whatever, spoiler, she dies. But I was like, oh, she's going to be Wonder Woman, right?
Right.
This is what I was assuming when I saw her on a horse in armor. I was like, oh, there is Wonder Woman. And it was not. But she can always come back. I would love a spinoff, mm-hmm. a Robin Wright superhero spinoff.
I feel like Robin Wright is somebody who just confidently, with a slow nod, tells you she doesn't have time.
Yes. And her with, like, the way she can carry, like, an asymmetrical haircut.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And just, I want to watch her do push-ups. She's got those arms cut. A book?
I want a memoir of her Sean Penn days.
Oh, right.
I want that tea.
She's like if the singer Robin, like, aged into Claritin commercials. That's the look she goes for with a cream-colored everything. She's somebody who will wear a dusty pink, which I enjoy. Living rooms of the 80s, whatever colors they were, that's what she wore.
There's a hard stare happening right now. So then I have, now we're at the main event. I couldn't pick a number one. So I have two that are tied for first. And the first one is Martha Stewart.
Oh, yes. Talk about D-O double G.
I mean, this bitch. There is an interview that she gave. I think it was maybe Vulture, New York Mag, where she talked about the correct way to cut a pomegranate. And someone said to her, Martha, what would you do if you saw someone doing it incorrectly? And she said, well, I would go and show them how to properly cut a pomegranate, because why would you do it incorrectly? And it's that sort of unrelenting vision that has gotten her where she is, down to cutting a guy. Who the fuck cares how you cut a pomegranate? Martha cares.
Oh, yeah.
My prison bae. I love her prison bae.
This bitch looks incredible. Have you seen a picture of her?
She's like coming up on 80, right?
She's like 77.
Yeah.
She's the best aged white woman I have ever seen in my life.
No. Also, I mean, like, I feel like I maybe brought this up on Keep It before. In the late 90s, there was a time when Martha Stewart told you to paint your cabinets robin's egg blue, and you fucking did it.
And you did it. Yeah. You did it. I mean, the prison component, she's just... It's hard to even speak when I think of Martha.
She did that.
She did that and continues to do that.
Also, the way she says the word Connecticut with its 90 syllables and her, like, garbled elitist tone.
Yes.
Is
she's
exactly
also just
right.
So deeply Caucasian, and yes. I love it. Like, when you've just committed to that level of whiteness on every level of your life.
Right.
I can't be mad.
She wears denim in a way where, like, Blythe Danner can only dream.
But accessibly Caucasian.
Accessibly Caucasian.
Oppressively Caucasian.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Be excessively Caucasian.
And then we have, of course, Celine Dion, my brilliant nutter butter from the north. She's the voice. She is crazy, and I love her. I hope she never stops rambling. I love her accent. I love her hair. I love when she gets excited about something. I love when she gets upset about something.
Yeah.
I love every emotion and mood Celine Dion has ever had.
Her Larry King Live performance.
If you haven't seen her Larry King Live interview after Hurricane Katrina, I suggest you go watch it. Obviously, Hurricane Katrina was not funny. The interview is hilarious. She's very upset in a really true, genuine
heart
way.
On her sleeve. And unlike any pop star.
Exactly. She had just donated like $1 million. She was like, no one is doing enough. We need to get them boats. I don't care if they're looting. She was going on and on. At the end, she breaks into song with tears streaming down her face. And it's just remarkable.
Also, I mean, she smiles and doves fly out. I mean, just...
I know.
She also like loves like a sparkly sheath dress. Like, picture the... $5,000 wedge on Wheel of Fortune. That is always how she is dressed. Just bright diamond.
She's the best thing Canada has ever produced.
Yes.
I say that confidently.
I'm an Alanis person, but I will allow this.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, Shawn Mendes is sitting right there shirtless. I will also say that whenever you want to talk about the best cover songs ever, they're usually Celine Dion songs.
They are.
She took people's songs and was like, no.
That Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
the Beast cover.
I can make them better.
So those are my favorite current white women.
Again, if you're going to submit submissions, they have to go through Crooked Media, not Kara.
Do not send me submissions, people.
Put them in a dossier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just say them out loud and think to yourself.
If you have submissions, keep it.
How about that? That's easy to remember.
Well, maybe we'll do this again in like 3 to 6 months, and I'll see if anything has shifted.
I feel like it won't at all.
I feel like Selena's going to keep shaking us all night long.
Wow. Is that a callback to the Divas Live performance where she did air guitar and performed that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. That was sly.
Well, you know, it's the power of love.
Who did she perform? Oh, my God. You're like a Mad Lib today.
I drove all night to get here. Anyway.
That's the way it is.
When we're back, keep it. And we're back with our favorite segment of the episode, always. It's Keep It.
It is.
I'm going to say keep it to Lewis this week.
Just for the hell of it?
Yeah.
I'm always be keeping it. Speaking of my black sense.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Indeed, I actually should just keep
it
now.
I wish you all could see our producer Corinne's face right now.
Lewis, what is
Good
your
Lord.
Real keep it?
All right. First of all, quick keep it to people cutting the music from Veep with footage of Donald Trump. Oh, you don't say, our bumbling president reminds you of the television show Veep. Congrats on that lightning bolt from heaven. You must be a fucking genius.
I hate when the people do that with Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Like, we've seen it enough.
Yeah. But yeah, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever. Second of all, keep it to the song Drew Barrymore by Bryce Vine.
What?
You know the song Drew Barrymore?
I thought you were going to say SZA.
No, no, oh, no, no. I was going to say, first of all, we already have a song called Drew Barrymore by SZA, which is fine. We need that song.
Who the fuck is Bryce Vine?
What are you talking about?
Girl, this song is on the radio all the time. Here's the thing.
Is this Bryce Dallas Howard's rap name?
No, here's the thing. That would be amazing. The lyric goes, you're the next Drew Barry and I want more. Can I get a punch up on that lyric? It's terrible. Also, if you're going to invoke the name Drew Barrymore, don't have music that sounds like this droning Post Malone shit. Drew Barrymore is a name that evokes joy. She evokes talking about coconut water. She evokes quirkiness. She evokes the movie Home Fries. I need these things brought up when we talk about Drew Barrymore. Boys on the Side. Firestarter.
E.T.
Precisely. There actually is a separate verse in this where somebody raps through a couple of titles of her, but the problem is it's not enough. It doesn't evoke Drew Barrymore.
Who is this?
Bryce Vine.
Okay.
Wow. You know what? I'll just leave Drew Barrymore with Cameron D.
It's an E. Yes. Charlie's
Angels.
Come on.
Oh, good Lord.
Question. Kara, what's your key?
Okay. So, Lauryn Hill has been in the news recently. Robert Glasper, who, by the way, does not have a great outlook on women generally, but was really critical of her. People have been writing think pieces. Lauryn responded with a very long note on Medium, and I'm just going to read this one graph for you. She says, perhaps my seriousness and militancy in the face of tremendous resistance was misinterpreted as meanness, or that I was unloving or uncaring when my true intent was to protect. I wouldn't be the first black person accused of this. I don't think of Harriet Tubman's skills as those of a hostess, but rather her relentless dedication to helping people who wanted out of an oppressive paradigm. If you bitches don't stop mentioning goddamn Harriet Tubman, I swear to God, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Stop mentioning this woman's name. Nothing you are doing is anything like Harriet Tubman will ever be, isn't in the universe. Stop saying her name. She doesn't want you talking about her. She doesn't want you talking about her. I promise you. I promise you. Stop bringing up Harriet Tubman. Ever. Ever. None of you are allowed to bring her up. None of you. Stop it. Stop it right now. Keep it. Shut up. I cannot stress to you enough to stop fucking talking about this woman. It is not like freeing slaves. It is nothing like slavery. I don't know what's wrong with you and why you keep bringing up specifically Harriet Tubman.
Also, Harriet managed to free the slaves and be on time for her concerts.
That's right. She gave you a follow-up album.
And I'm not even not on Lauryn Hill's side. Like, I think she made some good points. And then you undercut everything by mentioning and comparing yourself to goddamn Harriet Tubman.
Right, the rest of it was great.
I was like, oh, okay, points were made. Harriet? Harriet Winslow?
Yes.
Oh, Tubman.
Disappear like Judy Winslow is what I'm talking about.
Lauryn, and I was rooting for you. Even though I know that if the entire survival of humanity rested on you showing up on time to something, we'd all be dead. I know that. But still, I still love the album. It's one of the greatest albums ever made. Shut up. Shut up.
I think the beauty of her being late all the time is that I'm seeing her in September, and I'll probably show up by the time she goes on stage.
I'm literally not picturing her like in the Everything Is Everything video, like the record scratch and she falls.
I have a friend who's black who was going to a Lauryn Hill concert with a group of white people, and she was like, and they were like, the show starts at 8, we got to get there at 8:30, and she was like, hell no, and they didn't listen to her. And so they stood and waited for this bitch for like 2 hours.
Yeah, they're still there.
And she was like, I told you. I told you this. I told you this was going to happen. Stressing me out.
I'm sorry.
Stop. Please stop. Guys, please. You have to stop.
Well, as the Harriet Tubman of Keep It.
Right.
I'm kidding. I'm more of a Sojourner Truth.
Oh,
because I tell it like it is.
Ain't you a woman?
My keep it this week is about Louis C.K., who, as we prepared to do our show last night and I started to drift off to bed, awoke me. I sat up as if from some nightmarish dream, looked at my phone.
What is this Aesop fable?
And saw that Louis C.K. took the stage on Monday night in New York and did a surprise 15-minute set and was met with a ovation.
Ugh.
I noticed that the Hollywood Reporter said that he was met with an ovation and not standing ovation. Oh,
there was ovating.
There was ovating. There was Ovaltine. You know what? No one wanted him to come back, for one. But what was more annoying than the fact that he went up and did this, you know, non-consensual 15-minute set is the fact that Twitter, once again, lost their goddamn minds this morning with everybody jumping out of the woodwork to be like, Louis C.K. served his time.
When?
He served his time.
Where?
He didn't do shit.
Where? When did he serve his time?
That was 10 minutes.
He was on vacation.
Also, I think here, you know, people remember that story as being like, well, he apologized. Do you know what he did for a long ass time? Lied about it for like years and years and years. And he was dogged by those allegations. So the least we could do is spend more than like 31 minutes putting him in what, like the penalty box?
Also, he's one of the only people who admitted to what he did.
Right.
Jerk it off in a fucking plant. Like, there's plants next to us right now. I'm afraid Louis C.K.'s cum is in it.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Well, I'm going to move to another podcast now.
There are also, again, people don't know how to write headlines, because I saw multiple headlines that said Louis C.K. resurfaces after his sexual harassment or whatever allegations. He said he did it.
He
there
did
is a
that
written
shit.
Statement where he said, yes, I did all of those things. They're not fucking allegations anymore. It's truth. It's what happened. He did it. He said he did it. And when you use language like that, again, you're just protecting these terrible men. And I don't understand why everyone can't just be better.
Meanwhile, Aziz Ansari is coming back.
He did a show. Matt Lauer was caught, I think, by like TMZ, and he said something like, I'll be back on TV soon. Like, it's not even been a year.
Don't threaten us.
Listen, MTV needs something to air.
I guess.
That's the other thing. Where,
yo,
like,
Matt Lauer raps. Yeah.
Louis C.K., this stuff came out in November of 2017. It hasn't even been a full calendar year. Like, he can't even, the notion that they've served their time or that they deserve anything is ridiculous. He's done nothing to make up for anything that he's done. I mean, there's a chance, I suppose, that he's been doing this all in private, but I don't know any steps he's taken to be better or to make amends with the women that he did this to. It hasn't even been a year. It sounds like he just lived his life quietly as a millionaire for a year.
I've been waiting for a man to text me back since November 2017. It hasn't been that long.
He hasn't.
It's been like 2 days.
It reminds me of that, what Hannah Gadsby said, how we're obsessed with like protecting reputations. It's like uncomfortable for us to just live with the fact that someone's a man's reputation has been ruined. And it's just, well, he hasn't done enough to like recover from it. You can't just come right back.
You know, I always come right
back. Oh my God. I wish you were dead today. Jesus, you are gross.
Guys, this will be Kara's last episode of Keep It.
Is there room on Pod Save the People? We're moving there.
You know what? I have just one more keep it.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
I was watching some Vanderpump Rules reruns on Hulu.
As one
and
does.
And was seeing commercials, every commercial break, for this podcast called The Daily. I saw like 10 different commercials for The Daily during an episode of Vanderpump Rules, and I've had enough.
Ira, you don't pay the $12.99 to get the no commercials?
Well, I have Hulu with TV, which is $40.
Okay.
So I can have a DVR and watch Bravo live.
Of course.
So you're saying you don't want to even be reminded of the existence of other podcasts. It's too hard. I understand that.
I just want a Keep It commercial on Hulu.
You know we're at a network where they make other podcasts.
Oh, I haven't listened to them.
No, right.
Never been on a single one of them.
What do they think of the new Murphy Brown? I want to know.
That's our show this week.
Dear God.
This week I accept people just reaching out of the woodwork and saying, can those three keep it? What about that?
Thank you for listening to the worst episode of Keep It. For you Southern Keep It listeners, I will be in New Orleans this weekend at the Big Queer Pod Fest, hosted by Fran Tirado from Food for Thought and Jeff Masters of LGBTQNA. I will be a guest along with Jake Shears.
I can confirm that Ira is a queen of the damned, so he will belong in New Orleans. You can eject him whenever you want. He'll come right back here, and we're sorry to take him back.
The show is Saturday, September 1st at 6, and it's completely free. Get your tickets at theacehotel.com.
You get to hang out with Jake Shears? Actually, if I want to hang out with Jake Shears, I can just go to Akbar. But...
All right. We'll see you next week.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.